Guadalupe Radio presents A Christmas Carol.
Second chapter, The First of the Three Spirits.
When Scrooge awoke, he was devoured by darkness. Endeavoring to pierce through it with his ferret eyes, Scrooge was unable to distinguish the bedroom's transparent window from the wall. Rubbing the sleep from his eyes, the hour shook from the great-grandfather clock. The curtain beside his bed was drawn by a small feminine hand, and Scrooge, half recumbent, rolled upwards to come face to face with a strange, unearthly visitor.
Are you the spirit who was foretold to visit upon me?
I am.
The voice was soft, gentle, and low, as if instead of being close beside him, it were at a distance. Though they were face to face, the spirit seemed blurry, pale, and translucent. A tiny figure, slight and luminous as if carved from opal or moonstone.
Who are you, spirit? I do not recognize your face.
You will see when you are ready. For now, I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past.
What business has brought you here, spirit?
Your welfare,
she cried. As if the wings of time howled beneath her and a great sound of wind and bells fell in fury through the air.
Your reclamation, then. Take heed. Rise and walk with me.
Scrooge knew better than to argue, though he thought to plead, for the weather was bitter cold and the thermometer long below freezing. He had on only a sleeping gown, torn scarf, nightcap, and slippers. But the spirit's gentle hand reached for his, and he did not resist it. As their hands touched, the dark evening fog dispersed and was replaced by a fresh, bright winter's day filled with blue skies and white, fluffy snow.
This is the town I grew up in. I was but a young boy here many a year ago.
The spirit gazed upon him. Its gentle touch, though it had been light, seemed to carry the weight of a thousand thoughts, hopes, joys, and cares long, long forgotten, floating in the air.
Your lips are trembling, Ebenezer. Do you recall your way? Need I guide you?
Remember it? I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange to have not forgotten it after so many a year. Come, let us go.
They walked along the road, Scrooge recalling at every corner a piece of his childhood memory.
That tree there, I once carved my name in it as a child, certain that I would remain a part of history forever.
Scrooge ran towards the tree, almost gleeful, grasping at the bark in a subtle frenzy, looking for his initials, and ever so pleased to find them. He jumped up as if a great accomplishment had been achieved.
Aha! Yes, here it is. How marvelous this tree is. Oh, and there, spirit, over yonder is where the shaggy ponies used to trot with the neighborhood girls and boys upon them. Oh, how I so long to join them in their wonder and glee.
Scrooge's smile began to drop, remembering all the times he was not invited to join the other children.
All I wanted was to fill the air with the same crisp laughter as theirs. Can they hear and see us now, Spirit?
These are but shadows of what once was. They have no consciousness of us, no way of observance. We cannot interfere with the times that have already passed. They are but screenshots, pictures, a film of memory. Now, we are almost at our first destination, Ebenezer. Go forward to the end of this block.
Scrooge felt his legs go numb with paralysis. A rumbling of fear took over his knees, and they buckled as he fell to the ground. He began to weep.
Must I, Spirit? These are memories long past. I do not wish to revisit them.
The school. It is not quite deserted. A solitary child who feels neglected by friends and deserted by family. He still remains, wandering the chilly concrete halls, hiding in the shadows to escape the harsh hands and words of a cruel schoolmaster.
The ghost and Scrooge entered the dim building, walking toward a lonely little boy covered in scratches and filth, sitting in the shadow of a feeble fire, only a coal lighting it, much like the fire Scrooge lit for his scribe.
You say this is past, and you wish to not revisit it, but you have never left this building. You carry its dark halls with you. Why create a time so dire and lonely, every day of your life? Did you not ever believe you deserved love, light, warmth, with all the money you've acquired, and still, no comfort for yourself, or any other?
I feel ashamed to say it, Spirit, but once your family has given up on you, it seems all the easier to give up upon yourself.
Given up? Let us watch and see what you never knew, but assumed to know, Ebenezer.
A rumbling of horses' hooves sounded as a carriage approached. Before it had even stopped, an exuberant young girl ran off and swiftly towards the front door, passing the Spirit and Scrooge to the little boy alone at the fire. Grasping him in both arms and covering his face with kisses.
Oh, my dearest Ebby, I'm here, my sweetest, sweetest brother. Come with me. I've returned to take you home at last.
The little boy, almost hypnotized into a daze, could barely move.
Serafina? How are you here? But what of father? He sent me to this place, and mother condoned it, to be rid of me once and for all.
Oh, my darling little one, not you. It is father we are finally rid of, and now it is safe at home. And you, my dearest treasure, are now safe. I will always be here for you. I've come to take you back home. With me and mother.
She wiped the dirt from his cheeks and kissed the cuts on his hands and forehead.
Go wait in the carriage, little one. I will be there in only a moment.
But what of the headmaster? He told me I would never be able to leave this place, but remain for it as long as he needs labor. That's what happens to children who are unwanted. Children who are bad and given up on?
He said what? Nonsense! There is no truth to any of that, my dearest. Run off to the carriage and warm yourself. Here, take my scarf.
She wrapped her beautiful red scarf several times around his neck and stood up to find the headmaster. Young Ebenezer began to walk to the carriage. Scrooge looked down at his chest, at the tattered red warmth above his dressing gown.
My, in all these years, I'd forgotten. This shawl I wear to bed each night is that of my sister's.
The ghost smiled at Scrooge and gestured for his attention to bear witness to the next scene. His sister approached the school headmaster's chambers, opening the door to a warm, lavish room. The fire roaring so fiercely it was almost too hot.
Neil, I have come to take my brother back from this wretched place.
Wretched, you dare say to me, child? Insolent little brat. You barge into my room without permission. You've no right to be on my property.
Make no mistake, man. I see the bruises on Ebenezer's face and the filth he is covered in from lack of washing. My mother sent him here to escape the brutality of my father. And you have extended that cruelty to a child who has already suffered through too much. Shame. Shame upon you. I will report your deeds so that no other child ever feels the lash from your hand. And pray, your eyes open wide to the wrong of your doings.
Oh, poppycock. You'll do no such thing. Pretending you're such a brave little girl. You think I fear a 10-year-old little twerp? Such witless accusations. And he's a child. I've made him a man. Seeing the reality of this world, it is a hard, hard place. But thanks to me, he'll be fine.
You have broken his spirit from unkind words and promises of loss. Torturing his hopes into believing he was unwanted. Never go near my brother, or it will be a very sad day for you indeed.
Oh, foolish child, your views on the world are silly and naive if you think there is any justice. Children are not spared from cruelty. This is the reality we live. Be off with you and your childish beliefs.
I have suffered at the hand of my father's cruelty plenty, and it has bettered me to know there is choice, sir. You choose whether life's lessons enlighten or corrupt you. I'm saddened to see you've chosen the latter. Goodbye.
And with that, young Ebenezer Scrooge's sister, Seraphina, walked out of the building and into the carriage to her brother, who exhaustedly laid his little head on her shoulder. She sweetly kissed his forehead and sang him a little lullaby to lull his nerves as they returned home.
I love you so. It's you I love, love you forever, love you for always, love you forever, I always will, love you forever, love you for always, love you forever, I always will.
All these years, I never knew. My mother sent me there to protect me, my poor sister had to stay in a house with my father's hefty hand because girls were not admitted for education. All this time, they protected me. They didn't discard me. I was so wrong, so, so wrong.
Yes, you were very loved, Ebenezer.
Can't believe it. I resented her. Thought she was chosen to stay because they favored her, but she protected me. She stood up for me without a want. without a need to ever rub it in my face or prove somehow she was kind. Even when I acted viciously towards her, she cared for me unconditionally, without any need for acknowledgement.
Generosity and love are a gift in themselves, not a debt. The opportunity to give, oh, it's as much for the giver as the receiver. There's no need for acknowledgement if it is truly an action of the heart.
My sister, before her death, she passed this charm of hers to her child. My niece comes each year to invite me to celebrate with her family, and I scoff at her. Yet again she comes with a smile upon her face. The next year, Justin hopes I will spend time with her. I feel so ashamed, Spirit. I have been unkind. She has not deserved that from me.
Ebenezer, your eyes are widening. Perhaps there is hope for you yet. Come, let us go.
The spirit moved her fingers elegantly in a circular motion, and, as if she were holding a paintbrush, and painted the air into a new day. They were in front of a small warehouse, gray and metal, with a wanting for color. Scrooge looked confused as the spirit gestured and the doors flung open wide. A scene of grand warmth before them.
Do you recognize this place?
Recognize? But of course. This is where I apprenticed. Oh, Fezziwig. Oh, bless his heart. My. Why, it's my old employer, Fezziwig, alive again.
At a modest wooden table sat a jolly-looking fellow with spectacles and a worn brown cravat. He pulled out his pocket watch from his vest and smiled. He rubbed his hands together, adjusted his capricious waistcoat, laughed all over himself from his shoes to his organ of benevolence, and called out in a comfortable, jovial voice.
Yo-ho there! Ebenezer! Dick! Lucia! Come, my delightful young ones, no more work tonight. It is Christmas Eve. Let us sign off early, pull up the shutters, have a drink, some fine food, dance, and be done with this work day.
In ran three young adults, no more than 20 years old, a handsome young Ebenezer in a simple brown suit, a young man beside him, his fellow apprentice, with sparkling eyes and a smile to match, and a beautiful young woman with soft curls and a tender expression. Her lips curled in the corners as if there were a permanent smile beckoning to be called out at any given moment.
Dick Wilkins, bless me! He was so very attached to me, dear. Wonderful Dick! And her, she who ruled my heart.
The memory unfolded before them in a splendid glee.
Hop to it, boys! Put some spring in your step! Let the merriment of the season abound! Clear the work tables and chairs! We'll need plenty of room for celebrating! Mrs. Fezziwig, darling, we're ready for the feast! Bring in the roast, love! Kids, help with the meal!
And, up in a glorious fervor, everyone hastened to making the workspace an almost unrecognizable room full of verve and liveliness. In came Mrs. Fezziwig with great panache, beaming and lovable, her hair in a big swooping curl with ribbons aplenty. She was accompanied by the housemaid, several other young men and women, and her cousin, the baker.
Come, children, We've a grand roast with potatoes and herbs, pies, cakes, green beans, and carafes of warm cider that are brimming with nutmeg, clove, and cinnamon. Now! 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 Everybody grab a glass or a bottle. Let's all gather in gratitude. We've the most handsome household of beings. Look at you all. My, just look at you. How lucky are we to be surrounded by sweetness, good nature, hard workers, and employees that are more family than not.
Hear, hear, my dear wife, my partner, my love. I could not have said it better. We are so fortunate for you all. It brings a tear to my eye to have been graced by such luck. No, not luck. I pray this is a blessing, that all of you are like children to us. We have known no greater fortune than to fill our days teaching and learning from you all. You have been a gift in my life, and I salute you with great thanks and many joyous and fruitful days to come. I know when you leave my apprenticeship, you will all go on to do a great many things and have innumerable successes. I am so very proud of you all.
We are so proud of you.
Yes, we are so proud of you.
Our darlings.
Our darlings.
Fezziwig, unashamed, wiped a tear from his pink cheek and held his glass high, with one arm around his wife and the other clinking his glass to the soft, youthful faces around him. They all cheered unanimously in collaborative glee.
Hooray!
Bravo!
Here's to us.
Chin, chin.
Slangeva.
What?
Good health. By golly, my dear chums. How do we happen to find such a wonderful group? The Fezziwigs are the most generous and sincere couple I know. They've done more for me than my own parents. Hey, what do you say, Scrooge, my friend? We're the luckiest chaps in town, eh? Lucia, I know Mrs. Fezziwig loves you like a daughter. And all Fezzos' sons.
These beautiful gloves she gave me. You know she made them herself, from Parisian lace. She took the time to create something just for me. I adore them so much, I don't think I'll ever take them off.
I know the time they have spent molding our minds for business is unlike any other accountant in town. I've not ever learned so much. I felt so welcomed.
A small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small?
Why, is it not? They have spent but a little of your mortal money. Is it deserving of so much praise?
It isn't that, Spirit. They have the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness they give, the generosity of their words, gestures, and spirit, they are a grand fortune.
Scrooge could feel the ghosts look upon him, so he stopped.
What is the matter?
Nothing.
Something, I think.
No, it's just I should like to say something to my clerk right now, that's all.
The spirit smiled softly to Scrooge, and they returned to watching the group.
Now then, darling treasures, let's grab the dinner table and make way for music, singing, and dancing. But first, a special treat from the Grand Madame. Milady Fezziwig, my beautiful songbird.
Pa, pa, pa.
Pa 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 pa
pa pa pa pa pa pa
pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa
pa pa
pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa pa
in grace and stature round us grow.
Papa-papa-papageno!
Papa-papa-papageno! Papa-papa-papageno! Papa-papa-papageno! Papa-papa-papageno!
Bravo! 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 Bravo!
All right. All right, my loves. Now let's bring in the fiddles, guitars, and whatever suits your heart. Come here, my girls. I've ribbons to adorn your precious curls. And my lovely boys, you've not been forgotten. Come, come. A flower for each of your lapels. Proper handsome gentlemen you are. Oh, yes, indeed. My, you all look so fine.
Mrs. Fezziwig strode around the room, putting lavish ribbons in all the girls' hair and adorning the boys' jackets with little flowers.
Let the festivities begin!
Mr. Fezziwig approached his wife and bowed grandly.
Might I have this first dance, most fair lady wife?
But of course, you handsome gentleman, you.
They grasped each other tightly, and off they went into a wild waltz. It were as if they had an entire ballroom at their disposal. How wildly and freely they roamed the floor together.
My lady, you are so much worthier a partner than I deserve, in every sense of the term. I pray myself I better each day to meet you. If there be not higher praise, tell me higher, and I'll use it.
Oh, you silly, sweet man. Now dip me.
And so he did. A fine dip that was so deep, her hair came undone, and she burst into laughter. Young Ebenezer could scarcely get out the words, and wanting him to struggle no longer, Lucia smiled a huge, reassuring smile, clasped his hand in hers, and in a tight embrace, they took off across the room.
My fair lady.
Young Ebenezer, inspired by the sight, but cautious and slow, walked up to Lucia. He mimicked Fezziwig, doing a small bow and offering his hand.
Oh, Ebenezer, you're quite an impressive dancer.
Lucia threw her head back, elated, mimicking Mrs. Fezziwig in hopes her hair, too, would fall as glamorously.
Oh, no. I haven't stepped on your feet too much, have I?
No, not at all.
Young Ebenezer smiled, looking deep into her suffused, golden, brown, dark eyes, losing himself for a moment, and stepped on her foot. Hard.
Oh, my!
Oh, good Lord. I'm so very sorry.
Do not worry, Ebenezer. I have two.
They giggled together as she took the flower from his lapel into her mouth, and he her ribbon, which he wrapped around his wrist.
A rose upon a rose. You are such a sight, Lucia. It's as though I'm looking at a garden.
Oh, Ebenezer.
My time grows short. Let us move onward.
Can't we stay here but a moment longer?
I'm sorry. No.
The laughter and candlelight faded away, and now they stood in Scrooge's office. Scrooge was older now, a man in the prime of his life. The emergence of lines, not harshened by time and scorn yet too deeply. There was an eager, greedy, restless motion in his shadow, something growing that would soon befall him. An older Lucia approached him.
She, also, was gently affected by time. Worry lines creased the corners of her once smiling pretty lips. Her eyes were dewy, as if she had been crying.
Another love has replaced me, Ebenezer.
Ebenezer scarcely looked up from his table.
What's this you speak? What love has replaced you?
A golden one.
This is the even-handed dealing of the world. There is nothing so hard as poverty, and nothing more valuable than the pursuit of wealth.
You fear the world too much. All our hopes and dreams once created were not purely conceived of money. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one, until now. You serve one master. You have changed, Ebenezer. You are not the man I once wished to marry, but consumed with the desire for more. You do not give, but want. Where has the generosity of your heart gone? You know what it is to struggle, and yet you almost seem to take delight in reducing others' value to a number. You see suffering around you, but you assist in no one's aid. You pay your workers the merest minimums. They can scarcely survive.
You have forgotten how this business works. To acquire wealth, you must increase profit. These workers know what they enter into when they sign their contract with me. I give them a job, employment. It is not my responsibility to balance their finances. If they don't like it, they can go elsewhere. This is how I provide for us, for the family we will one day have.
I dare not ever teach a child these morals, that to get ahead in life is to take advantage of others. What has happened to you, Ebenezer? We were so excited to share a future together, with the same dreams. We both knew the pain of poverty and—
And what? But that is why I will not ever have it again. That is why I have been working to build an empire. I am no longer a foolish boy with small dreams, but a man who understands the freedom of wealth.
But what of generosity to others who struggle?
I struggled and worked. My example is all the generosity I need give.
You can't believe that everyone has the same opportunities. Every hardship creates a different circumstance. Sharing your wealth and knowledge, this is how you create livelihood for others.
What do I care of others?
Oh, Ebenezer, I can't. I cannot be privy to this life. Wish that I may it were different. And it so terribly pains me to say. But my dreams are not for sale. They're not. May you be happy, Ebenezer, in the life you have chosen.
Lucia turned around and opened the door. She hesitated, her back to Ebenezer, as if in hopes he would awaken and grab her into his arms just like that first dance. But he just sat there at his chair and picked up his pen again to continue his counting. Scrooge looked down, averting his eyes from the lovely woman, a pain swelling inside him.
Spirit, please, remove me from this place. This was the worst mistake of my life. I can't bear it, Spirit.
As you wish.
Now, they appeared in a building quite unfamiliar to Scrooge. A warm brick living room filled with cedar-trimmed walls, bright curtains, colorful art, and soft, well-groomed, purring house cats. One girl looked so much like Lucia. Scrooge thought it must have been, until she opened her mouth calling out.
Mommy, will you read me a bedtime story?
Of course, my precious one.
Across from her sat an older Lucia, gracefully knitting by the fire. In opened the front door and entered his old friend, Dick.
Darling, you'll not believe who I saw today.
Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!
Yes, 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 my little one.
Down Dick dropped to grasp the little girl and tenderly collect her in his arms. He kissed his wife on the cheek.
How can I guess? Oh, wait. Tut, tut. Mr. Scrooge.
Surely was he. I passed his window today and there he was, shut up in his office. His partner lies on his deathbed. And off he sits at work. All alone, alone in this world.
Oh, you know how he is. He cannot face the world, only count it. It saddens my heart to know he is with pain.
Well, my darling, let us not worry upon what we cannot change. Come, let us put this little one to sleep and be grateful for the love that we have together.
Yes, my dear. I will be up in but a moment.
Dick carried the child up the stairs, who started gabbing away about her day.
And then we went to the park, Daddy. And Mummy, she got me some roasted chestnuts. I shared them with the squirrels.
Oh, very nice. Such a wonderful girl you are.
Lucia smiled, watching them walk up and went to the fire to snuff it out. She looked deep into the flames, held her hand to her heart, and in a gentle voice said,
Dear Ebenezer, I love you always. I pray you find happiness in this life.
Oh, spirit, remove me from here. My heart cannot take it.
He turned to the ghost, and for the first time, her face unburied by a blur, he saw her tender smile as she gently kissed his forehead.
Oh, Abby, do you see?
Serafina. Yes, yes, I see.
You have had so much love around you. Those who have wanted only your best interests, who have seen you, loved you, and to this day, Abby, they still hold you in their hearts.
Sissy. I see. My eyes are open.
I love you, my dearest heart. I am always with you. I love you so. It's you I love. Love you forever, love you for always. Love you forever, I always will. Love you forever, love you for always. Love you forever, I always will.
I love you, Abby. End of the second chapter.
A Christmas Carol is an original production by Guadalupe Radio, based on Charles Dickens' story and adapted by Juliette Blasot, with special performances by Addie Daddio, Seamus Dever, Juliette Blasot, Sal Lopez, Michael Sokol, Angelina Rail, Eduardo Enriquez, Cynthia Dane, Erica Ortega, Chrissy Guerrero, Jonathan Kelly, Andres Londono, Efraín Figueroa, and Denise Blasot. Graphic designer, Marta Naranjo. Recordings, Rafael Valdez and Gerardo Nevarez. Editing, Juan Matos. Original music, Marcos Loya and Juliette Blasot. Script supervisor, production and direction, Denise Blasot. Executive producer and director, René Heredia. A Christmas Carol.LA, all rights reserved.